This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hey, man.
Good morning.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
How do you do?
Hey, man.
Just want to talk about the boys in blue.
Hey, man.
Now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite KCQ?
Hey, man.
What's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen, and the lineup, too?
Welcome back into the 9 o'clock hour. We'll be joined by Royals manager Matt Kramer here in a second. You are listening to 96.5 The Fan, KFNZ, FM, and AM HD1 and HD2 Kansas City here on the radio waves. I want to let you listen to the song a little longer. That's right. We are now joined with the manager of the Royals, Matt Cotrero. So I want to ask you, manager Q, last night's MVP, in your opinion, Chris Bubich, Freddie Fermin, or Drew Waters?
Well, tough not to go with Freddie getting us out of that jam in the 10th there, and then the big hit. I mean, you know, that's the real testament to him to know that, you know, he's going to be ready whenever he's called on. You know, that's pretty special, because you sit there for 8 innings or 9 innings, whatever it was, and then come in and be able to impact the game that much. But, you know, I would say him, but close second would be Bubich. You can't overlook 7 shutout innings too often in a big league game.
Yeah, he was really, really impressive for you guys last night, and you needed it. It wasn't a great road trip. You get home, you put all that in the past, and now you've won 2 in a row. How good is it for you guys just to be home and get that road trip in the past and be able to now focus on moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going back in time. I wish we could. I'd like to do that road trip over. I think, you know, that's a tough trip. Result-wise, we knew it was going to be a tough trip with the teams we were playing, but we need to be able to figure out how to win some of those games. So I'd like to do it over again, but unfortunately, you don't get that opportunity. So now our focus is on what's right in front of us, and we got to keep playing to a higher level, more consistently to you know, reach our potential.
You know, you mentioned going back in time, and now I've got like Dr. Brown and Marty McFly on the brain. Thanks, Q. And so if you could take that DeLorean back to the beginning of that road trip, you said you learned things, you wish you could have done some things differently. What are some of those things, and are those some things that you can use moving forward with this team too?
Yeah, I mean, you know, clearly there's no magic button to push for hitting, right? Hitting's hard. We know that. you're facing really good pitching on a nightly basis. You know, the ability to impact, you know, you saw the at-bats we had against Skubal on Sunday, you know, this last year's Cy Young Award winner. I think just making sure that the at-bats are that intentful all the time. And, you know, that's a really tough thing to measure, because sometimes you can have the best intent and even execute and you don't get the result you want. But just understanding the level of focus and concentration that I need, that our staff needs, that our players need at all times in order to be, you know, in the mix at the end of the year.
Talking with Matt Quatrero here on 96.5 The Fan, and you know, a guy that we mentioned at the beginning too, Drew Waters, has kind of stepped it up nicely for you guys since his call-up, replacing MJ, you know, in that lineup on an everyday basis. Really, really good last night. What have you seen from him and his limited, you know, opportunity so far, and have you seen kind of what you needed to see for him to turn that corner and be a guy that stays up here now?
Well, what I've seen is, you know, what we would have expected from Drew. You know, we know he's immensely talented physically. And, you know, everybody at this level doesn't develop at the exact same rate. Mm-hmm. And Drew had, you know, some opportunity in 23, but we were a vastly different team in 23 too. And now that he's had some ability to put in perspective what he learned that year, and continue to grow as a player, I think we're seeing a more mature Drew. I think we're seeing somebody that understands a little bit more about what it takes to help win in the big leagues. And, you know, there's, we use the word term, turn the corner. I don't know if you ever truly turn the corner. I mean, you know, superstar players might turn the corner, but I think most guys, it's a daily, hey, we got to figure it out today. You don't feel the same every day. You don't think the same every day. You have to figure out how to compete at your highest level every day, and I think that's what Drew is figuring out right now.
Somebody else that seems to be figuring that out as well, Q, is Michael Garcia. How impressed have you been with his continued success and the way that he just seems to be a total team guy, laying down bunts, getting on, stealing bases, doing what he needs to? Had a hell of a play last night at second. I thought he was safe, but you know, Michael Garcia keeps doing his thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's another guy. You know, that's part of the – when you look at the growth of this team, you're looking at Michael coming up as a 22-year-old. Now he's 24. He's an extremely young guy and inexperienced at the big league level. I mean, he's learning right in front of all of our eyes, and that's not always an easy thing to do. You know, he's in a similar boat to Drew, that in 23, you know, we were a drastically different team. Now, Michael played all year with us last year. He's made some nice physical adjustments at the plate. He's gotten stronger physically. He's also improved a lot with the mental part of the game. And I think that's what's fun. You know, when you see him every single day, you know, you're going to see good games, you're going to see bad games with result-wise. But what I'm seeing with him is that growth of understanding how to handle his successes and his failures. And that puts him in a better position the next day to come out and be the best version of himself.
Yeah, I really like the way that he's kind of just been that guy that it's almost like he's a moment guy, right? I'm not saying that he's going to go up there and try to hit the 5-run home run, but like what's best for the team. And it seems like that kind of has a trickle-down effect. We saw what happened to Freddie Fermin last night. I thought that, you know, the crowd getting behind him delivering in the extra innings, getting the game-winning hit. Is that something, and I know that this isn't really your style, but like you were in the locker room last night. A walk-off's a walk-off. I don't care if it's Colorado or the New York Yankees. You walk off any team and win an extra, it's special, it's fun. Was there a very like loud and very vibrant feeling in that locker room that maybe we hadn't seen on that road trip?
Well, for sure. I mean, and that's one of these things, the things these guys do a great job of. They celebrate every win, you know, and that's because we know how hard it is to win in the big leagues. I mean, you can talk about whoever you want. This is a tough schedule, an easy schedule, who you're playing, who's pitching for whatever. Every night it's hard to win. There are no layups. And when you understand that and you approach it that way, you deserve to celebrate the wins because they're tough. You can't take them for granted. But absolutely, the guys were fired up. They were happy for Freddie. They were happy for the whole team. And, you know, nobody was happier than Estevez to be able to celebrate when, you know, it didn't go his way last night.
Yeah, that felt like one of those games, Q, if you guys did not win that thing, that felt like one of those games, at least for me, and I'm kind of joking about this, but like where you may have lost your cool, flip the spread type of moment. Like that had that feeling where you led the entire game And then the ninth inning happens and you get a couple outs and walk the bases loaded and then the big hit and you end up losing that game 3-2. Was that frustration starting to build inside of you? Or are you still able to be as calm as you always are?
Well, I mean, I think effort is one thing and performance is another. There was no lack of effort from any of our guys last night. And Carlos clearly wasn't out there trying to walk the bases loaded. And he's been so good for us. That's something that happens with high leverage relievers at times. You get beat. You know, that just, but for Salvi to get the hit and Mikel to get the hit to set us up right after that in the bottom of the ninth, and for Massey to come through with the sac fly, that kind of stuff, that's effort, that's character, that's resolve, and that's never in question. So no, I would have been disappointed for sure if we hadn't won, but for not because the guys weren't giving it their all.
Right. Win-win last night for me. The boys in blue take care of business in game one against the Rockies, and then I'm sure you've seen it by now. Maybe you haven't. Cy Young pitcher pitched to Jack Caglione last night, and he ate him for breakfast, that Jack Caglione did, of Clayton Kershaw. What did you see any of that, or is that any impressive going opposite field with a double? I mean, the kid's starting to get hot again, man.
I did not see that. That's what I do after I talk to you guys is go through all the box scores and stuff. I did not realize that Kershaw pitched against them last night. No, but good for them. I mean, I've noticed they've scored a ton of runs. You know, the double A team scored a ton of runs. The high A team scored a ton of runs. So good for them for getting off to a good start.
And then our producer, Mac, is dying to know, who do you think the Chiefs are going to take with the 31st pick in the NFL draft tomorrow night?
You asked me that last week, and I have no idea.
Make up a name, because that's what we're doing.
I thought maybe you did some homework.
I hope they get whoever they want to make them as good as they can be.
I will not be listening.
Which is great. You're not listening to Vern on the way home?
I will follow the draft. I will be interested in who they take, but by no means would I have one iota of an idea who that will be.
Do you have any iota when we do the baseball draft, though, either in your position? Because you don't focus on that, you know?
I'll hear the names that they're talking about. And, you know, if it's a college guy, you know, be able to look at his stats or watch some video and stuff like that. But no, I'm not involved at all in the draft.
Is it hard for the baseball side of things because you don't see immediate results with a draft? Like, do you wish at times it was like the NFL where you draft a guy and that guy's either starting for you or becoming a big player for you overnight?
I wouldn't say it's hard because you're just used to that. That's what the system is. Like if that had been the norm to take guys and bring them right up and then all of a sudden they took that away, then that would be difficult. But the expectation is that you draft guys and they take 2, 3, 5 years to get to the big league. So no, it's not difficult at all. I mean, it's fun to start following those guys. And then the more you get to see them in spring training and follow them through their seasons, that's awesome. And, you know, there's a lot made of the first round picks and the second round picks, but it's really fun to follow the guys that aren't those high picks too and see how they develop.
Yeah, like a Vinny Pasquantino type of player, you know, a guy that wasn't a first or second round draft pick and here he is, you know, up at the big league level. How much different would baseball be if we got rid of the minor leagues and everybody that got drafted went right to the big leagues that year?
I don't think it could be any more different. And I don't know how you could function without a minor league. You know, they'd have to have some sort of like they do in the NFL, right? Practice squad players and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that would be immensely different. And then you would lose some of the, you know, the veteran guys that you would be used to hanging on to and used to getting to know and the city embraces and that kind of stuff. So that would change things about as drastically as you could change them.
Q, last one for you here. We had a question earlier today on our show, which you could go back in time and see any band or artist that is no longer alive. Who would you choose?
Oh, wow. Well, off the top of my head, the first name that came to mind would be Chuck Berry.
Mm. Ooh. Okay. That's an interesting one.
The old Axeman, huh? Well,
yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Chuck Berry watching him shred on the guitar. Well, Q, hey, go shred the Colorado Rockies. Go take two more, sweep those guys, and get ready for Houston. We'll be locked in tonight.
Okay, guys. Have a great day.
You too. That was Matt Cotrero, manager of the Kansas City Royals. Coming up, manager of the Drive, Carrington Harrison, joins us for his draft insight on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty, subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan on Fesco and Dusty. Joined now by the host of The Drive, Carrington Harrison.
How much you think you're getting from the casino in Topeka to perform, though, Carrington?
Bob, thanks a lot for inviting me. Mac has been trying to have me come on for quite some time, and I said, you know what, right before the draft seems like the perfect time to join you guys' show.
Yeah, man.
We were talking about Flo Rida before.
Florida, yeah. Yeah, I said he's performing at the White Sox game soon. You're like, oh, he's performing at the Royals game, too. I'm like, oh, so he's doing the ballpark circuit.
Yes, he is going to be in Kansas City. I'm very excited to see him. Bob, if you could only listen to Flo Rida or Pitbull for the rest of your life, which one would you pick?
Boy, both are on my workout list. Probably Flo Rida.
You're getting gains to Pitbull?
It's easy to work out to, you know, when you're running, you know, in 3-4 miles a day.
No,
it's
like
you got to get something to kind of block. I can't listen to sports radio.
I thought Pitbull moved to Barrett Sports Media. so I have a question for you because I asked this for Jay Binkley. Yes or no, Shador Sanders in the first round?
I'm starting to trend no. Mm-hmm.
In the first round now,
I'm starting to trend no. I feel like because of supply and demand for quarterbacks that used to be second-round picks, Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, like we kind of knew like there was a range that they could go, that I feel like now because the contracts have gotten so big, those guys have been pushed up to the late first round. The thing that would just scare me about Shador is the physicals just don't blow you away. He's not incredibly fast. He's not big. He doesn't have great arm strength. It's like, what are you drafting? If you're drafting for intangibles, that's not a guy I'm using the 9th overall pick on. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some questions there. I mean, I think the smart money is probably on the back half of the first round because I think the value of having that option for the 5th year is normally what pushes teams in that. It's just such a big financial windfall. But in actuality, he's probably worthy of like the 43rd overall pick.
Yeah, but I think it also goes back to desperation, too. Teams are so desperate because, as Denny has said for 25 or 30 years, however long I've known him, baseball doesn't need to expand. It needs to contract because there's just not enough good starting pitchers to fill out rosters right now. And that's kind of where I am with the quarterbacks in the NFL. Maybe we just need to get rid of teams because there's not enough good quarterbacks right now in this league. And so people get desperate. And if there's somebody out there that may be good, people are going to fall all over themselves to take that guy in the first round, as opposed to taking a better player like Cam Ward going number one overall. I think Abdul Carter by far the best player in the draft, but Tennessee so desperate to need a quarterback, they're willing to take a lesser player at that position of need. And that sets you back even further.
I think there's like a lot of things off of what you just said. I would say number one, I think we have seen quarterback play diminish as I think offensive line play is worse now than it was 10, 15 years ago. I also think like we have convinced ourselves that a position that touches the ball 300 times is not important and interchangeable. That doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I think what's going to hurt Shador is most of the teams in the league either have their quarterback or feel like they have their quarterback. Like what teams going into this thing do you say they absolutely got to get a quarterback? It was like maybe 4 teams. The Giants have to get one.
Do they though? Because you could say they've got Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. They don't need to get one this year.
So if you're putting the Giants in that category, if you're putting the Jets in that category with Justin Fields, like the teams that need a quarterback, it's like Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee. Tennessee has the number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's going to hurt him more than anything is most of the teams that you would think in theory are kind of right there on that fringe, like a quarterback like Indianapolis and Anthony Richardson. I don't think he's the answer, but I also just don't think that they're using
a
high
Daniel
resource.
Jones, man.
I just don't think they're using a high resource at quarterback. So
yeah.
I think this is one of those weird years where A, it's not a great quarterback class, and B, even for the teams that like are desperate for needing a quarterback, there just aren't that many of them, so I just don't think that's going to push the market up.
See, I just think Pittsburgh's the only one that needs a quarterback because they literally don't have a quarterback, right? Cleveland, they just signed Joe Flacco. Who was the other team? Oh, you still have Will Levis down there in Nashville if you want to use that. Like, Pittsburgh literally has nobody to play the quarterback position for them. I think they're the only one that truly needs to draft a quarterback.
I don't know why Cleveland just doesn't go get Kirk Cousins. It just makes all the sense.
Because you have Joe Flacco, though. I don't understand that one.
I guess I just, for me with Kirk Cousins, though, like, you have Kevin Stefanski. They got the relationship back to Minnesota. He's not going to start in Atlanta. It just, all of the leaves to me just seem to be in the direction of Kirk Cousins to be traded to the Cleveland Browns.
Not a lot of talk yet, just a lot of smoke screens, but I give you the number, over or under 3.5 trades in the first round.
Under. I don't think there's many teams that are willing to trade up in this. I also don't know if... So, like, if there's not a lot of teams that are not willing to trade up, then obviously there's not a lot of teams that are willing to trade down. I just don't think there are a lot of players in this draft class that people feel like they have to go get this year. I think it's a big indication of how they already feel about this draft class. There hasn't been a single trade yet. Normally, somebody has moved from 7 to 2 in this year's draft class, and we all know who they want to go get. I just think it's going to be kind of hard for a team at 12 to justify, all right, well, we're at 21. We want to move up to 12. Like, who are you moving up to 12 to go get? So, yeah, I think the first round's going to be pretty uneventful this year. I just don't think this is the offseason for it.
Do you think that nobody's moving because the talent level just isn't worth moving for? Like, you don't really have that true, like, oh, my God, we've got to have this guy to change our franchise?
Yeah, I think what hurts this draft class is, I would say, the most important positions on the field, there are very few prime superstar kind of players. If quarterback is the most important position on the field, Cam Ward is a good prospect, but probably would have been the 5th or 6th quarterback taken last year. If Shadur is the 2nd quarterback taken, and we're debating if he's a first round pick or not, that tells you where we are on quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on Abdul Carter. I think he's the best pass rusher in this draft class. Who's the 2nd best pass rusher in this draft class? I would say there's a pretty big gap between what I think Abdul Carter can be and whoever you think that player is. Tackle this year.
Yeah.
You don't think there's that franchise left tackle. There's not that Joe Alt this year. There's not that Penei Sewell this year. So some of the, like, premier positions that you would trade a future first-round pick for, or you would package your 21st overall, your 2nd-round pick to move up to 12, I just don't know what position you're moving up to get them. I actually think there's only 3 stars in this draft class. I think it's Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, and Ashton Jeancey. Those are the only 3 superstar prospects. Right. Now, other great players might emerge from this draft class, for sure.
Right, like, there'll be a Travis Kelce in the 3rd round, Tyreek Hill 5th round type of player, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Or like the year that Eric Fisher was the #1 overall pick. DeAndre Hopkins was the 21st overall pick. Ended up being a really good wide receiver in the league. Like, yeah, there's a possibility that those players exist in this. Mm-hmm. But heading into it, there are only 3 stars in this class, and I just think this class is just uneventful. Now, next year's class, I think, has a chance to be really good, but this year's class just isn't that.
Yeah, we're talking to Carrington Harrison of The Drive and getting his NFL draft insight, which all these NFL draft interviews are brought to you by Powell Exteriors, J&M Displays, Salvation Army. We had a conversation earlier. Do the Chiefs need to draft a tight end this year?
That's a great question.
Because do you think Travis is washed?
Tell you what, Carrington, Travis is washed. You're right, Rob. So, Salvador Perez is too.
I'm not saying that about Salvador Perez. I want to point that out. You said that. I did not say that about Salvador Perez.
That was Rob's take, right?
I'm going to go with no, I don't think they need to draft a tight end. I have been preaching this offseason that they need to be younger and more explosive. I would say the biggest disagreement that I've had with our text line is, I think the text line blames the offensive line for why they lost the Super Bowl. I don't blame the offensive line. That's the same offensive line. They won 7 consecutive games with that same offensive line. I think some of it was just coaching. I think Andy is just... I think we saw in the first Super Bowl they lost, I think Andy is slow to make the necessary adjustments to help the offensive line.
I think Andy was shell-shocked on that Super Bowl Sunday in New Orleans. Like, right away, they were beat from the first play of the game.
I think their core infrastructure, I think I've never seen Mahomes have that kind of body language for as long as he had in the game.
Right.
I don't know where Kelce's head was in the game. It was just a really weird thing. I do think that this offense, I maybe think that fans have this part wrong. I think explosive plays come from explosive weapons around your quarterback. That I understand. The Chiefs have the coach. The Chiefs have the quarterback. But they've also gotten worse at running back since Patrick Mahomes has been here. They've gotten worse at wide receiver since he's gotten
here. Well, I think overall they're much better at wide receiver. They don't have the number one guy, right? The guy who can't be an adult in life. They don't have that type of guy playing wide receiver. But overall, core wide receiver, I think their group is much better than it was when you just had Tyreek Hill running around.
Yeah, but I mean, when Mahomes started, when he won his first MVP, they had one of the five best running backs in the league. They had a prime Travis Kelce, a prime Tyreek Hill, and in that case, like, Sammy Watkins is your fourth option. It's a really good
fourth option now.
In hindsight. So I want to see the Chiefs get back to having explosive weapons and explosive players. I've been banging the drum for running back. The Chiefs don't have a single running back that's under contract for the 2026 season. Like, it's time to start over in that room.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. I'm going to jump in, and I'm sorry, but like, just talking to some people over the last couple of weeks, like, they're ready to get back to 2018 style of offense. So if that tells you anything going into the draft, I don't know if it does or it doesn't, but I know they're itching to get back to that kind of that bombs away style, you know?
Well, I mean, if they're itching to do that, then I would say they need to draft a running back, I would say, in the first three rounds. I think we are going to see multiple 1,000-yard rushers come out of this year's running back class. I think this running back class is actually – I think it's the best group of position. Like, if running back was a premier position in the league, the first round would be super exciting because six or seven of them would come off the board. But people just find running back to be pretty interchangeable. I also want to see them go get another wide receiver. To me, if you're kind of banking on Hollywood Brown staying healthy this year, Rashee Rice coming off of ACL, what does that look like this season? I want to see them just pack more explosiveness. So tight end, I mean, I wouldn't be against if they got a tight end, but I want to see them take either 63 or 66. I want to see them take a running back. And I'm fine with them taking a mid-round flyer, a fourth-round flyer on a wide receiver. Like, that's kind of the one thing that Veach has never done. Like, you look at kind of other teams in the league, they're like, they'll spend that fourth or fifth-round pick, and maybe that guy doesn't turn out to be a star, but he ends up being a pretty productive D-Rob. DeMarcus Robinson, kind of. He can have 500, 600 yards receiving. Yeah. They've never drafted that player since Brett Veach has been here. I like to see them pick up that player.
Do you actually think they're going to pick at 63 and 66, or do you think that's going to end up being a package where they trade those picks?
I think they make one of the picks and probably move down with one of the other picks. Like, I could see them using the second round pick, and then they try to turn 66 into, there's a team that wants to move up to the top of the third round. They move back from 66 to 71. They try to pick up, like, this team doesn't have a fifth or a sixth round pick.
Right.
So, like, they kind of have a void where they're not going to make a selection. I could see them trying to use one of those picks to try to pick up a couple of picks in that range just to give themselves more chances at the dartboard.
What do you think they do at 31?
I think they're going to go offensive line if it's available. I think that they are in a very unique position where they can kind of look ahead to next year. There isn't any position at 31 that they need to draft a starter for this upcoming season.
Right.
Like, not a single position. Like, I mean, it'd be great if they got a pass rusher at 31, but I don't think they're finding a pass rusher at 31 that you think starts for them week one of the season. So I think they're in a position that they can start to look ahead to. What are we going to do next year when Juwan Taylor is gone? Are we going to spend a lot of money to refill that right tackle position? Or are we going to draft Josh Connerly today, have him redshirt for this upcoming season, and then next season, best case scenario is Jalen Moore ends up working out, Kingsley Suamata-Iyo works out, you've already got your center and your right guard, and now you got a 23-year-old right tackle that's been in your system for a year, all of your offensive linemen are under the age of 30. That's a really good offensive line that you kind of built.
I love that theory. I'm like getting excited thinking about that theory because that is pretty good. But I would go the opposite route for you. I think they're going to go defensive line because Chris Jones being up there at 31 years old. And you know they always draft a year ahead, which is the Juwan Taylor thing as well. But I think you go defensive line because it is so loaded. I think like top 30 of the top 100 people are saying are defensive linemen, right? So I would go that route just because I know eventually Chris Jones is going to be one that falls off the books and you're going to need to replace him too. So same theory, just different side of the ball.
Yeah, my question would be, are they drafting a defensive end or a defensive tackle? Because I think they mean two completely different things.
Yeah.
To your point about D-tackle, if they're drafting somebody to put alongside Chris Jones and you get that push from the interior, if they're drafting another defensive end in the first round, it tells me everything I need to know about Felix Anudike Uzomah. It tells me everything I need to know. Like, in that situation, when does that guy get on the field? Because you got a Minnehu, you got George Karlaftis. You have to factor in this first round pick that you just got factors into the mix in some capacity. Like, we kind of gave Felix that redshirt year when he first got drafted. He essentially got two redshirt years. We're in the middle of his contract. At this point, there's no reason to think they're picking up his fifth-year option. You haven't played enough to even consider them picking it up. We're in the middle of it. It's time to see what he can do. Or they drafted a nice feel-good story that was really cool for the draft, and they got to light the fireworks. But now it's time to really address this need of they need another defensive end on the opposite side of George Karlaftis.
See, I'd go tackle. That's where I would go on this one. I think they're kind of weak on the interior of the defensive line right now.
Who do you think is under the biggest spotlight for the draft team-wise?
It's a great question.
Gracias.
Golly, I'm trying to think of who that is.
Like, I think Baltimore is up there.
No, I don't think it's Baltimore. And I think Baltimore is kind of one of those teams that they're going to make one or two picks, and you're thinking, that's going to work. You know, like a couple of years ago, they drafted Patrick Queen. They drafted Kyle Hamilton. Then you're like, how did the league let the Ravens get Kyle Hamilton? Like, you know this is going to work for
them.
The
league let him get Lamar, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who that is. You know what? I will give you one interesting. I think it's the Cowboys, actually. Okay. I think the Cowboys have one dynamic skill position player, and that's CeeDee Lamb. I think they have to come away with at least two other ones.
A lot of smoke from Dallas yesterday, too, but trades are going to happen, you know?
So, like, if you're them and you put McMillan on the opposite side of CeeDee Lamb, and then you grab one of those running backs in the middle tiers, like, all right, you kind of got, hey, Dak's coming back healthy. You got a decent offensive line. You improve the weapons and the pieces around them. So, yeah, like, thinking on the fly to answer your question, I actually think it's Dallas. I think Dallas needs to draft impact offensive starters, skill position-wise. Yeah. I think it's them.
I think the Giants have the worst draft pick in the history of drafts this year for a number of different reasons. Number one, there's nobody there. I mean, you'll probably get Abdul Carter, but you need a quarterback. But you're also allowing the people that you're going to fire after this season to run this draft, right? So how are they supposed to go into this draft as a head coach, GM, knowing most likely they're getting fired after this season? So that not only sets your franchise back for this year, but it sets your franchise back for the future, because that GM's got to be looking at it going, I ain't drafting for the future here. I'm drafting for the right now. And that means you can miss good players that could potentially help you in the future.
I mean, so isn't the play then, to go with what you're saying then, isn't the play, if you know that your job is on the line, you take Abdul Carter with the third overall pick, and then you try to get back into the first round and take Shedeur Sanders. Because the best thing you can do, or you draft Jackson Dart, the best thing that you can do to keep your job if you're the Giants is you need to win seven games this year with a young quarterback with some promise that people feel good about.
But is that guy going to play with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston both being there on the roster now? See, it just gets progressively worse when you peel back the onion on that.
Or what you could, I mean, I don't think Jameis really factors into it that much. They're not paying Jameis anything. It's like a 2-year, $8 million deal. Yeah. They can get at it out of the one. Or, I mean, you basically do what Pittsburgh did last year, where Pittsburgh had Justin Fields and they had Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson starts the year. Let's say you start 3-3. You need a spark now all of a sudden. You put Shedeur Sanders in or Jackson Dart. You finish with the, you know, a little bit of promise there. I mean, that's probably it. I am with you. It does kind of feel like the Giants coaching staff is in the same place that the Bears were last year. Yeah. That you kind of realize, like, all right, Matt, this thing needs to get going in the first 10 weeks of the season, or you are not going to be around for too much longer. And then ultimately they went in a different direction. It does feel like Brian Daboll, if you're like pinpointing right now, who is the most likely coach to get fired first? He's near the top of the list.
We asked a question earlier before we get you out of here. If you could see any artist that's no longer alive, who would it be?
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that was the lead on the text line.
Yeah, Michael Jackson. Is there anybody, there's another possible answer?
We're white guys, so okay. You know we're going to be like.
So was Michael Jackson.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's a great answer. I went with Frank Sinatra.
Was he white?
Yeah, I don't think I would go see Sinatra.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I
said
yeah.
Prince.
Yeah, I would go see Mike.
You would get laid after Prince. Maybe. Michael Jackson, I don't know.
I might get pancakes, too.
What do you got coming up on the drive today?
I have absolutely no idea.
Love
good.
It.
Good. That's a perfect answer. Way to go, Josh, with that question.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea.
Somebody in the text line did say, Carrington, is this the earliest you've been up in quite some time?
No. I'm up by now.
It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I mean, like, yeah, I'm up by now. A human.
Yeah, no. This is just my normal. This is like my relaxed time of the day. Yeah.
This is when you sew?
No, sometimes. I kind of listen to podcasts during this time. I'm like cleaning up. I'm like getting ready. Rob and I normally talk around 10:30. Rob kind of gives me the
Carrington. Who do you think is washed today? I don't know, Rob. Who do you think is washed?
I can't believe I came on here.
Let's go with Salvador Perez today. He's looking washed, Carrington. All right, Rob. Fine. Him and Kelsey together at the John Knox Village next.
I would like to say, and no one will give me credit for this, and that's perfectly fine. I was the first one to call it with Travis Kelce. The first one. I saw it before everybody else saw it. It was so
I don't want to be first to that party.
I'm proud to be first to the party. I was the first one to see it. Like, hey, I don't know. This guy looks a little different to me.
He almost had 1,000 yards last year.
No, they didn't have anybody else to throw it to for the first 7 weeks of the season. When's the last time you see Travis Kelce run past somebody?
Never. He always shimmies right and goes left.
Yeah, he's a Ram. He used to jump over people and look athletic.
Yeah, true. Well, time it waits for no man.
Right now, he looks like Gronk on the Buccaneers.
When are you calling Mahomes washed? 2 years?
No, he's got way more time than that.
Did you say he's Gronk on the Bucks? Yeah, so we got another Super Bowl in
us. That's who Kelce is right now. Kelsey's Gronk on the that's who he is.
Wow, that's great. Well, hey, man, we appreciate the time. Thanks for the insight. And we'll see what the Chiefs do at 31 at the landing.
Of course, man. I appreciate you guys.
No doubt about it. Kevin Henderson of The Drive. Of course, all draft-related interviews here on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Powell Exteriors, J&M Displays, and the Salvation Army. There's a baseball game being played at a racetrack in Mac's old town of Tennessee. We'll explain on the other side here. 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
What 80s band is this?
FAU Fast Wagon.
Good Lord.
Spook Light.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Spook Light.
Okay.
So you're reading real names of these fake bands that Spectre created.
These up.
Did he make these? What was that app that used to be out there that people played all the time? Garage Band?
Yep.
Spectre cooking this stuff up in the Northland and sending it to us to play?
Better believe it. Mac, I don't know if you knew this or not, but the Braves and the Reds are going to play a regular season game inside Bristol Motor Speedway in Tennessee.
That's awesome.
That is going to be dope.
Have you seen the setup?
No.
Sick. Oh, it looks cool, man.
I looked this up.
And if you really want to go to the concert beforehand, it's Tim McGraw.
Wow. That's a great concert.
Cool.
Yeah. That's a way to do it, man.
Okay.
Oh, you were dogging?
I was.
Oh, no. That's a cool concert for that. For cool. Tennessee?
For Tennessee. Yeah. For Bristol. That
for the
sort
Braves.
Of,
yeah. Like,
I feel
that
like you'd have to have Kenny Chesney there.
Oh, God. Talk about overplayed.
He's
Mr.
Tennessee, though.
Yeah, but he's got,
every song sounds the same.
May he sell it out.
Would be awesome.
I know. He sells
Kenny
out everything.
Chesney in Tennessee.
And he's a Tennessee
legit.
Guy. Yep. He's Tennessee Chesney.
It's true.
Tennis Chesney.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That's,
what about Dolly Parton? She's Miss Tennessee.
It's true. We love Dolly Parton.
Still.
How could you not? I mean, she's like the greatest thing to ever happen to Tennessee.
No, if you don't like Dolly Parton, then there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Honestly.
She's
an amazing human.
A human being that you should all strive to be like.
Seriously.
She's awesome. I've been to Dollywood.
I hope she's doing okay with the recent passing of her husband.
Of course. I know. It
and
sucks.
That must be hard.
Right? I think about it. Like, I tell my wife this all the time. Like, if anything ever happened, man, I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd handle. Maybe when you're married 60 years and you're in your 80s, it's a little bit. But
maybe it's even harder.
It's even harder, right?
Because all your life, you're like, wait, what?
I mean, you think about what happened with, what's his name out there in New Mexico?
Yes. Hackman.
Yeah. Like, I'd be honest with you. Like, dying together after a long marriage is probably the way you want to go. I don't want to be without you anymore.
No.
This also, recent article, MASN released a state-of-the-art streaming service for fans to stream O's and Nats games, but mistakenly charged some fans $8,999 instead of $89.99. You imagine getting that report?
Which, by the way, that brings up, those are the last two teams, I think, to be on the streaming, if you will. I think those are the last two teams that joined the party.
We made a mistake with a decimal.
Yeah, big one. I'd be livid.
$8,999 instead of $89.99.
That's a big difference. Big difference in price. But like, so that now everybody's on streaming and whatnot. And what did you say, the WrestleMania event the other night? Mm-hmm. Largest audience ever for a WrestleMania.
124,000 in attendance.
In attendance. And how many people stream that thing? We don't know the number yet, but can we be done with the I don't know where to find things streaming and all people complaining about streaming? People are finding it. 25 million people watch an NFL playoff game. 100 million people watch WrestleMania, you know, on this thing. You see every damn TV streaming show that you want to see. Like, enough from the sports fans about the streaming side of things. This is where we are. Either adapt and adjust or get left behind. I'm tired of hearing from sports fans that I can't find this or the streaming this or the streaming that. I mean, were people like this when cable came out? Does anybody know? Because I'm not old enough, but like, were people complaining? I'm sure they were.
On the TV now? I want to read it. Speaking of stuff you might be tired of hearing about, NFL rumors update.
Never tired of NFL rumors.
Okay. Several NFL teams picking in the top 10 open to trading down.
Of course they are. And several teams picking in the bottom 10 are looking to trade up. I mean, I thought it was so funny yesterday that Peter Schrager, you know, trying to indoctrinate himself at ESPN. They're dropping now Schrager bombs.
Stolen.
Yesterday, his Schrager bomb was that the Browns and Giants are both receiving phone calls, to which Josina Anderson, God love her, responds back and goes, this happens every year. Like, these insiders put this stuff out there that they think is information. It's not.
Shrags.
It's made up. Anybody can say anything at any point in time, and it's all copacetic to the draft.
Like Jerry Jones saying that the Cowboys are working on pretty substantive trades regarding players. Although
what word was that that he used?
Substantive.
Because I keep reading it, and I'm like,
I was having the same issue.
Substantive.
Right? So I'm not the only one.
No, I'm glad that you're
S-U-B-S-T-A-N-T-I-V-E.
Substantive?
Should it be we're
substantial.
Substantial.
Should be substantial.
Right? Yeah. Well, or substance of trade. I mean, like, I don't know what word he was using.
I don't know what he's using.
So he's claiming there's going to be trades out there, and they're involved in some substantial trade talks right now.
And he offered no specifics.
Because there are none.
Other than saying that they are taking calls with teams.
So other than Micah Parsons, who's not under contract technically, who else are you? CD Lamb available?
Oh, my.
Ain't nobody wanting Dak Prescott.
Probably not.
So who else you got down there, Jarrah?
Jarrah?
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who was having an issue with that word.
Right.
Man, I was what the
Samsonite,
hell is that?
I was way off.
And then his son contradicts him yesterday. Like, you asked the other day about, you know, we were talking about, are sports better if certain teams are winning? And the Knicks are the only answer to that question for every sports league out there. The NBA is better when the Knicks win. No other sport, in my opinion anyway, is better when a certain team wins. You could make the case for the Yankees if you wanted to, right?
Skankies.
But for you brought up the Cowboys. To me, the NFL is a much better place when that is a dumpster fire and things are going wrong and Jerry's talking and the son's contradicting him and they don't have a coach. Like, that's the drama for me. Dallas being bad.
We asked you earlier on the Fesco and Dusty poll question on a Wednesday, what position should the Chiefs draft in the first round? Running back, offensive tackle, defensive tackle, wide receiver. 307 votes are in. The leader is still defensive tackle at 41.7%, offensive tackle at 40.4%, wide receiver 13.4%, and running back 4.6%. Guys, it's Wednesday, one day from the draft. We'll do it again tomorrow. What are the Chiefs doing at 31?
I want to say trading out.
Okay.
It's kind of where I'm leaning right now. I think they're going to trade down.
I think we're going to be there getting ready for pick 31, and I think they end up trading.
I think they are, too.
Unanimous decision. I want to disagree, but I just think they're going to load up in the second and the third.
All right, I'll say trade up then.
Okay. That'd be more exciting, obviously.
I think they're going to load up. The guy in the hard hat's going to be mad at us.
I think they're loading up in the second, third round. Friday night's the night for Chiefs fans. Like, that's the night of the draft. You ain't got to work on – well, most people don't have to work on Saturday. Friday night, draft starts at like 6, I think, not 7. So, again,
that's
I think
good.
Friday's going to be the night. I think Friday's where you get to see Veach do his work. That's like your fourth quarter, 2 minutes left, down three, Mahomes moment. That's where Veach steps in, is that moment on Friday night. That's where I'm at least excited. as well. But be excited because the fan draft party is tomorrow at the Landing and Liberty starting at 6 p.m. Bink and Unicero. They'll be on the show tomorrow from 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. With us, our crew. The draft contest is back again. $965 plus an autographed Juan Taylor helmet. As a prize, 1 point for player drafted in the first round, 3 points if you get it right. Player on right team, your sheet must be turned into inspector before the first pick on the clock. Hold on, Dusty. And the entire fan staff will be in attendance. So tomorrow, pick 31. See what they do. Trade up, trade down, take somebody else. You hear the music. You know Cody Golden Drew are coming up next 10 to 2, but don't forget, go do something nice for somebody today. Could change their day, week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay cool, stay safe, and stay kind. We'll talk to you tomorrow.